We love our bondage, don't we? That's a blessing. Is your Bible open to Matthew chapter 4? Very good. I like it. Matthew chapter 4. Come on, preacher. Let's go. Get to it. Snap to it. Amen. Matthew chapter number 4. I feel like preaching a little bit right now. That song's got me blessed. Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 4. If you're there, give me a good Baptist honk or amen or something. Let me know you're there. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, Jesus himself believed that it was essential for us to use, to have the Word of God. He said it's so important that it's more important, really, than he said just. It's important as eating bread every day. It's important as eating food every day. Amen, Brother Joe Eman? Huh? We like eating every day, and that's great. That's what God would have us to do. But he said it's just as equally important that you spiritually eat every day. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now I want to continue preaching, if I can, the Lord leading and guiding, on some things that we have according to the Word of God, simply because Jesus is living today. These are seven sure realities that we have simply because He lives. And the first one I presented to you is the fact that because He lives, salvation is possible. Not only is it necessary, but it's possible. Salvation is not in a system or in some inanimate mechanism. Salvation is in a living, breathing being, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now today, I want to pick up that little sermon series on seven sure realities, just simply because He lives. And I want to preach to you that because He lives, the Scripture is powerful. Scriptures are powerful, simply because He lives. Now, I want to take advantage of the day of Memorial Day we have, and I want to give an illustration to prove this principle before I get into that doctrine. I want you to think with me for a minute. If a police arrives, there's no one there to maintain the law, to serve, and to protect the Commonwealth. If the fireman dies, there's no one there to respond in fire-related issues. His acts are powerless without a living fireman. Ain't that right? If the EMS responder died, there's none there to administer emergency medical attention. The heart monitor, the IVs, the treatment, all the tools, all of that is... If the EMS responder dies, if military persons die, who will be there to defend us at the national level? So I want you to know that even in this life, salvation, deliverance physically depends upon someone being alive to take care of it and ensure that we have it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm thinking right now of a mother. If that mother is able to die and no one is there to fill in that gap, if that mother dies along with that child will die because that mother's not there. Are y'all listening today? Amen. I want to remind you, and I want to remind the world, and I want to remind my doubting flesh that because Jesus is living today, salvation is not only necessary, but it is possible because He lives. But these prove another point, don't they? The Scriptures are powerful today. The Bible matters today because He lives. Think about all those tools of the police officer. He lives, all those tools work. Because the fireman lives, all his tools matter. Because the EMS worker is living, all of her tools matter. Are y'all listening today? Because Mama is alive, all of her tools matter. I want you to know that Jesus is alive. I don't care what the world says about it. He's real. He's living today. He watches what's going on in the world. We see Santa Claus sleeps over us and watches us day and night. He's making sure who's naughty or nice. I want you to know that ain't even real, but Jesus. this is real, Pastor.
Hey.
We all get worked up about Santa Claus. I'm not being mean. I'm saying we need to get worked up about you can be saved today because He lives. You can be saved, and the fact that He is living makes it so. And the tools that God uses to speak to our lives as believers is the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures. Right. If America died, think about that, Brother Stewart.
Amen.
If the whole country died, the Constitution would be powerless. It needs its nation to be alive and well to keep its precepts and principles going. I got to make this principle. I got to get you to this principle. When you're alive, you write something called a living will. Whether that's something on a piece of paper, you just slip out there and say, when I die, I want them to have my stuff. I don't want them to have my stuff. I want to be buried here. This is my last will and testament. This is my desire. That you write that when you're alive. Now, if you're dead, if you don't have something, why, it's up to other people to decide, right? Am I telling it right? What's going to go on and how things are going to go and who gets what and who doesn't get what and where you want to be buried, how you want to be buried, do you want to be cremated and all that stuff? You got to decide who's your beneficiaries, all these kind of things, and where you want your resources to go and how decisions are to be made. And you do that. You do that while you're living. Your dead and gone are not left confused and in disorder. You're making provisions for peace and security even at your deathbed. But I want you to know it's real and it matters because you wrote it when you were alive. And I want you to know Jesus is alive today and His will still matters to us. And I want to give you some things in the Word of God today. This didn't come from other places. It's come from the Word of God. I want to share some things I shared with our Sunday school department workers, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. I'm going to give you some things about this Bible that we hold dear to us today. From the Bible. I'm going to let the Bible speak for itself for a little bit. If we said, Bible, speak to us, what kind of power do you have? What can you do? Holy Bible. The precious Word of God, what can you do? Speak up for thyself, O Scripture, and tell us, what are you able to do? Let me give you some things the Bible does. Number one, the Word of God, the Scriptures that Jesus said men should live by, converts the soul. Psalm 19:7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect for the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. 1 Peter 1:23 reads, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How was I born again? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How was I converted? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The Word of God was shown like a brilliant light into my darkness. It is born again. The Word of God said Jesus is the sacrifice who paid for your sins. The Word of God taught me that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
Amen.
The Word of God said that you should not touch the unclean thing and be a separate, saith the Lord, and come out from among them and be a holy. The Word of God convicted me, and the Word of God changed me, and the Word of God converted me. It's not a corrupted seed, my friend. The Bible says it's incorruptible. There ain't no corruption in your Bible. It's a powerful, living will of God today. And it converts the soul, the Bible says. Number two, the Bible gives counsel. Brother James did a great job teaching the Sunday school hour this morning. If you were able to listen to that, you know that he spoke about how the Israelites forgot God. They were just all the wonderful things that God did for them. And yet, the Scripture says they forgot God. And I told Brother James after the lesson, I said, you know, I know this was a God-sent lesson because I was dealing with wanting to preach that very principle about not forgetting God in your daily life. How easy it is for us to just kind of loosen up and to get going in the rut and to get in that gutter, and to get in that gutter ball, amen. It's so difficult to get out, but it's so easy to get in there. Why, we just get so busy, we have so many responsibilities, and we've got so many things going on, Jesus just kind of falls through the cracks. He's like that sand that you scoop up one day and you think, man, I really got a hold of my walk with God today. And it just takes a little wind, it takes a little dry spell that you go through, and that just sits right through like the sand drips through your hand. And when you're looking at your hand at the end of the day, when you're about to say your evening prayers, there's just the greatest sand there at all. And you wonder, where has your faith been this week? Where has Jesus been this week? What has been going on? I want you to know it's easy to forget God, but God never forgets us. The Bible gives us counsel. In Psalm 33:11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Acts 20:20, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. When you and I open up the Bible, as Dr. Raven Barber would say, we're literally opening up the mind of God.
Right.
If you want to say, man, I wonder what God is thinking today. When you open the Bible, you're reading God's thoughts. The Bible says that Jesus is the Word, capital W. He is the Word, the capital W-O-R-D, the Word. Do you want to know what God's Word is to you? Look at Jesus. And when you can't see Him, then turn to the Bible. And that's how you get to see Jesus, through the Word of God. It gives you counsel. You sometimes wonder, Lord, is it Your will for me to quit this job and go to another job? I advise you, my friend, to get in the book. It'll give you counsel. Is it the Lord's will for me to get involved with this financial enterprise? Or to get involved with this financial opportunity? Boy, we got a lot of financial opportunities. Well, how do I know which one's right? How do I know which one's wrong? Get in the Bible. Hey, it'll tell you about lenders, and it'll tell you about being slave to the lender. It'll teach all these things, my friend. The Word of God gives you counsel. Mothers, we preach to you a hearty message on Mother's Day, and we try to provide you some counsel. We told you, mothers, get up for Jesus, amen. And be that Christian mother that God's called you to be. Where did I get that from? I got it from the Blessed Bible, amen. Fathers, you got one coming up too on Father's Day. I do too. We need that counsel from the Word of God. We need God's Word. We need His counsel today. I like to say America needs God's counsel, but it ain't going to do no good if the church don't listen to God's counsel.
Amen.
The Bible gives counsel. The Bible gives counsel. Sometimes we have decisions and values and worldviews and ideologies that we think, man, are they right? Is this right? Is which one's right? Just agree with what God says. It'll all work out. Take sides with God. Get into the book, amen. Now, I'm going to tell you a lot of reasons why we don't get into the book. We're going to get into that here in just a little bit. But I'm just giving you some things that the Bible is powerful in. It converts the soul. Ain't nothing else in the world that can convert a soul like the Bible is the only thing. Something to think about. How important then, is it? The Bible gives counsel. The Bible corrects. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much of it? All Scripture is given by inspiration. What about Jonah and the whale? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In the Red Sea, all Scripture is given by inspiration. Or walking on the water. All Scripture is given by... What about Jesus rising from... Y'all get the message, don't you? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine. That's what it's teaching. For reproof. That's telling you what you're doing wrong. And for correction, that's telling you why you need to get it right. And for instruction in right, that's telling you how to do it. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now I want you to ask yourself the question, hey, how important is the Bible? How powerful is the Bible? Well, you know what's good as a parent for me? Is I try to teach my kids biblical principles. teach them biblical principles. Now, I'm not the greatest at it, but I try. Because this word is more important than my word.
Amen.
Instill these biblical values and principles into my children's hearts and lives by the grace of God. Then I feel that I am training them up the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it.
Amen.
Now I want to ask you, parent, do you have maybe a teenager that's gone astray and won't listen and is incorrective? Y'all know where I'm going already, don't you?
Amen.
I command that you get that Bible out, amen, and you make that kid read that Bible where it says, honor thy father and mother.
Right.
You put it on their table. I'm saying you can't just let a child go and correct left unto himself, bringing his mother to shame. You got to train them up, amen. You got to teach them, and you got to correct them. How do you correct them? You say right here. You see that verse right there, honey? Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And you're not even going to church, you didn't even read your Bible, and you're getting mean and ugly at people because you ain't living right. The Word of God says you ain't living right. I'm not my word, it's your word. Go to church, child. Put it on their table. Correct it. I had to discipline my kids one time. I don't do it too often. But when I do, sometimes, boy, it gets a... Y'all know how it gets, parents. I grab my kids, I grab that Bible, and I said, this is the Word of God. And Isaac said, repeat after me, the Bible is the Word of God. And Isaac said, the Bible is the Word of God. Naomi said, the Bible is the Word of God. I said, you are to honor your father and your mother. All devices go out at such and such a time.
That's right.
You know, you think, well, that's crazy talk. That's crazy talk.
That's right.
Honey, that's Bible. Train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. You know what the Bible will do? It will provide correction. Now, let me just get in political here, since some people don't like it. Makes me want to say something on it. I appreciate Donald Trump giving a declaration to let the churches come back together. Let me just say... Yeah, let me get loose here. I may get into something here. I appreciate that, but what would happen if he was not the value system that he had? What if he said the churches shall not gather together? My beliefs are not based on who's in the president's office. My beliefs, amen, Brother Philip, my belief system ain't based on who's my president. Amen, that's right. My belief system ain't based upon what everybody else is doing with their kids. My belief system is not based upon the Joneses and the Smiths. Amen, that's right. My belief system is based on my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My belief system is based on the Word of God. Now, I'm not perfect. And guess what? Neither is everybody else. How about that? So we're all in a big mess. Let's just agree to agree. God is corrects people. The Word of God corrects. I think it's funny when you go into corrections. Isn't that a good word, Brother Stewart? Lord just gave me that thought. When you go to corrections, you know who goes into corrections? People that work in corrections are people that need corrections. Amen?
Amen.
When you go into corrections, you know what they have available to them, inmates? Take a guess. The Bible. One of my earliest opportunities to preach the gospel was in the nursing homes. And in prison. I remember one time my dear wife, before the children were even born, she had the courage and the faith to go back behind them locked doors up there in Oldham County, Kentucky, where the state penitentiary is. And I went in there with an older evangelist and had an opportunity to start preaching hell, fire, and brimstone gospel preaching there. Boy, they loved it. Man, they was getting saved left and right. And then you'd see, man, they'd come in and say, look at this Bible I got. They got all these highlights in it. Man, they memorized all the commandments and they're straightening up. You say, brother, you're getting too far a positive outlook. I'm not saying that they was going to turn out to be all this great. But here's what I'm saying. There was a Bible there that was trying to correct in trying to straighten out, and I'm glad that we have a Bible to give us that correction. I'm glad that I have the Bible that says you need to straighten up. You need to quit doing that, amen. I need to be corrected every single day. And what corrects me the most is the Word of God. Correction. Sometimes you just need to get the Bible out on them kids. Amen, that's right. Number four. Because He lives, the Scriptures are powerful. This is what I'm preaching on. I like this one. Because He lives, the Bible cleanses. Cleanses. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Jesus said in John 15, 3, He said, now you are clean through the word spoken unto you. He prayed, Father, clean them through thy truth, thy word, or sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. You know how to get dirty? I mean mentally, spiritually dirty, bogged down, just unclean altogether. Huh? Y'all know how to get muddy spiritually? Do you know how to get clean spiritually? Getting into the Word of God. It's like taking a shower and you get all that mildew and that residue and that filth off of your body, them herbicides and pesticides and sin and abominations. When you start to get low down and dirty and your mind is in the gutter, get your mind in the Bible, amen. And it'll clean that gutter out, hallelujah. It'll put some clean water in that heart, amen. You cannot hold hands with and hold hands with the Bible. Joel D.L. Moody said, either the sin will keep you from the Word of God, or the Word of God will keep you from sin. Amen. Because He lives, the Scriptures are powerful, they clean. Thank God for this heavenly soap. Thanks be unto God that when we get dirty and discouraged and deflated and defeated, we can take a shower in the precious Word of God, and we can renew our conscience with God, and we can get that cleansing power from on high. Bible cleanses. John chapter 3, the Bible convicts. The Bible convicts. That's something else. You know, the Supreme Court is supposed to be the conscience of the nation. One day they say this is okay, and then when new judges get in, they change it and say, no, they were wrong. This is okay. I'm talking about moral issues, lifestyle issues of the day. My belief system isn't based on that. That doesn't convict. This convicts. This Bible teaches us that you should not steal. This Bible teaches us that you should not covet. This Bible teaches us that you should have no other gods before you. I mean, who wouldn't want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Your love, your neighbor as yourself? Who wouldn't want that? I mean, what's so bad about that? Huh? What is so bad about being a Christian? When you stop and consider it, there isn't anything bad about it. It's the fact that men's hearts are desperately wicked in and of themselves. It doesn't take any time at all to train somebody on how to sin. It doesn't take any time at all to get somebody. If your conscience was left unchecked, my friend, you and I would be just, we could potentially commit some of the most wicked, heinous sins. But there's a great law out there called the law of faith. This Bible convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Bible convicts. And I say, let it convict. Let's not water it down. Let the Word of God convict. Let the Bible deal with hearts. Let the Bible cause people to question the moral standard of their mind. Let the Bible investigate that situation in their individual conscience. I'm not going to try to water it down, Brother Philip. I'm just going to preach it. Amen? As long as Blue's in there listening and receiving a blessing on it, then I'm going to preach it like it is. Amen? Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with putting a worm at the end of a hook, Brother Harlan. Hey, that worm ain't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. A lot of the good fishing that I've done in my life been caught on a night crawler. And I'm too old to change my fishing ways now. Praise God. I got a conviction in my heart from this blessed book. And when I sin, I know I sin. When I do right, I know I'm doing right. And I'm not always doing the things God called me to do, but at least I know what's right and wrong. Because the Word of God is in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It convicts me of sin. Jesus in John chapter 3 spoke of that. The Bible, praise the Lord, brings us comfort. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That doesn't just comfort you already. I hadn't even got into the whole thing. Stop and think about all the comfort that you've gotten over the years through the precious Bible. Some difficult times. Some of you had reached out to me, Pastor, pray for my family. Somebody may have been contacted with the coronavirus, and we prayed over it. And why did we do that? Because the Bible was there to tell us, have faith in God. Take everything to God in prayer. And we took it to God in prayer, and God stepped in and intervened, and no casualty was brought into your life. A miracle was brought in your life. Why did you have faith? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God brings you comfort. Amen, Sister Milby. You're worried that Dalton may have had a serious issue, but you had faith, and you had a faith that God could work it out. And you said, preacher, pray for us. Why would you do that? Why would you cause that? Because you believed in. And if it was a serious, serious issue, you would still, if it was God, as long as God is still on the throne, you still have hope. Amen. Amen. The Bible comforts. Some of us deprive ourselves of the greatest comfort in the Word of God. When we go to comfort from other places and other things. Now there's people out there that find comfort in music. They can't find comfort in their friends. They find comfort in substance abuse. They find comfort in their vices and in their sins. But I want to tell you, that ain't real comfort. That's a false comfort. That's a comfort that is, they just last for a little season. But then the long-term effects of discomfort begin to settle in, amen. But I know of a comfort that is true and that is of this world, that even though heaven and earth shall pass away, that His Word shall not pass away to you. Hey, Jesus said that you're in my hand and no one shall be able to pluck you out of my hand. When you feel like everything's against you and all hell is formed against you, if you have Jesus, my friend, you are victorious! And you can go forth marching in great faith, amen! And the comfort that He provides. Brother Stewart scared me today. Brother Stephen, I was uncomfortable. That's probably not. I hope I wouldn't embarrass Brother Stewart, because that's not the point. You're a good man, Brother Stewart. But he concerned me this morning because I love Brother Stewart, and he's precious to me, just as all my church is precious to me. And I had expected that we was going to have a one call come out at 11 o'clock today. And I didn't hear from Stewart. And I was concerned. And it began to boil. My concern and my worry began to escalate. And it began to be concerned. The message that I called and no response. And the thought that came to my mind, Brother Ray, is that, oh, Brother Stewart may have fallen in the shower, is what I thought. That's what paranoid me. And I was determined. I had Brother James McBride was all out. But I was going to, if I didn't hear from Stewart or didn't see him at church, I was going to go to his house and beat on that door and go see if he wasn't laying helpless in the shower. That's what my mind, your ever mind play tricks on you, always scared to death. I genuinely thought that, and then he had texted me. Oh, Stewart, you scared me, brother. I thought something bad had happened. Now I'm not indirectly saying I was genuinely concerned. But when he texted me and I saw that he was alive, it made me feel better. And my friends, when I get concerned, and I get worried, and I get scared, and I open up the Bible and I say, God, are you still there? And God begins to speak to me through the Bible, and I feel alive within my soul. Hallelujah. comforts me. Lastly, the Bible constructs. It builds us up according to the Scriptures. Now, all of this, I'm done. I'm not going to belabor those points. That's a lot of doctrine in there. But those are seven values of the Word of God. All of it, friend, would be utterly useless if Jesus was not living. Think about that. No one could be saved. I mean, what are you going to do? Trust in your works? No one could be saved. No one would truly be converted. Now, you may join a system, but that's not conversion. That's not God changing of the heart. You may try to turn over a new leaf, but that leaf gets that leaf eventually wear out, died. You're going to turn it over again. Get a Bible and get in it. Get a Bible and get in it. Say, preacher, how come you always stay on the uppity up? Oh, I just try to get into this every day. Amen. Try to get into it a little bit every day. I try to serve and do. Many of you, you've got to work, you've got to raise kids, you're watching out for coronavirus, you've got a lot of things beating at your door demanding your time. And I understand that, and I get that. And if you'll just let me stay on the uppity up and do my part and preach to you, try to fire you up, then I'll do that, amen. There may be a couple of times it gets bogged down and gets worried and gets discouraged and gets deflated, and I'm going to need you to be on the up and up. Huh? I'm going to need you to encourage. I'm going to need you to take that King James Bible and say, now, preacher, come on now, preacher. Preacher, look at what it said. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Preacher, don't you get discouraged. Don't you be disheartened. Hey, have faith in God. Brother Housley, you remember when Peter stepped out on the water? It was hard. Step out on the water, preacher. I know it gets tough, preacher, but be faithful. Lead us. Be the example you call us to be. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to the flesh. Don't listen to that murmuring church member that's dragging you down. You listen to Jesus, preacher. And I listen to Jesus. I want you to know, church, that I love you and I care for you today. Get you a Bible and get in that Bible. That's how God speaks to us. We want God to speak to us through miracles and visions and dreams and, Lord help me, apocalyptic things. Lord, open up the sky. Lord, let down blood come down from the, let it rain blood. You know, we ask God to do all these miraculous things. The Bible is a miracle. It is a living, breathing miracle today. Just as much as the living Word was a miracle at His birth, the written Word is a miracle. It's not man's book, it's God's book. He inspired it. He is the author, and He is alive today. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Get into it. And my friends, if you don't have a Bible, get you a Bible. Amazon sells them. You can get anything from Amazon. Hey, you can get it from, I go like buying things from the KJV store. Look that up sometime, KJV store. Get you a good Bible. Get you a good King James. Maybe some of your children don't have a Bible. Have a special day where you get your children a King James study Bible. Let them read the Word of God. Let them begin to live daily by the Word of God. Make sure they bring the Bible to church. Friend, I know we're living in a pandemic, but it ain't time for us to panic. And it's not time for us to cast aside our anchor in this life. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one who holds tomorrow. I don't know what the sea is going to do this week, but I know the one that controls the anchor, amen. And I know the one that controls the stern. I'm trusting in the captain of my salvation, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm trusting in His precious word. My constitution of my being today is the Word of God. Hell, take that, old devil. Jesus said, you ain't getting me in your old county. Man cannot live by bread alone. I don't care how much you tempt me, Satan. If I have to die out here in this wilderness, I'm not going to break God's word. And I'm not going to cast aside the Bible just for a morsel of beans. Just for little beans and littles and bread. I'm going to serve God and live for God even when it gets hard. Even when it gets unpopular, I'm still going to serve my God. Jesus out there on that wilderness, hungered. 40 days and 40 nights. Boy, day one, Brother Joe, he would have had me going back into town. Jesus, I got to go to Chick-fil-A. I'll catch you on the flippity-flop. Jesus, I lasted 3 days, but I can't go another day with this serving God stuff. Oh, Jesus, I got to go. Zaxby's serving some free breakfast, amen. Or Tony's is serving the free buffet. I got to head out of here. Jesus said, you going out? I got to do something out here with the devil. I need to show him and I need to show you to live by the word of God. Even my physical body is demanding, feed me. Feed me. Give me that anger and malice and bitterness. Give me that lust and greed and hatred. Feed me. Feed the flesh. Feed the flesh. And the Spirit saying, feed me.
Right.
Feed me. Let's pray. The flesh is, no, don't pray. And the flesh, Spirit says, come on, let's read a little bit of Jesus. The flesh says, oh, you don't even know where to start reading. And the Spirit says, don't listen to the flesh. And the flesh says, don't listen to the Spirit. Then you get a phone call. And you've lost several hours of your day. And then something else happens when you're going to work and you go in and you got to go 8 hours. And you got to punch in that time. You lost 8 hours. That's just the way it is. Then you come home and now the first thing you want to do is eat. Watch your show. Relax. Let your hair down. Take your shoes off. Go swim. And you got all these demands, you got all these responsibilities and situations. My friend, you've got to make time to read God's Word a little bit every day. You have to.
Amen.
Sometimes I get dry. Sometimes I do. I like to listen to preaching. When I get cold and I get a little just, you know, Brother Stephen, you read so much of Solomon said it brings you to a weariness. It makes you get just weary of it. You know, you read the Bible so late. How much more could you possibly do? And you pray so much. And then there's times where you just are so in it, brother, that you just weep. God speaks to you through the precious word. And you're just so just bored to it. Then there's other times, man, it just, this is just, I know this is the right thing, but there's just, I got to listen to some preaching.
Amen.
Oh, I got to listen to some preaching.
Amen.
And that preaching gets me fired up, preaching that Bible.
Right.
Thank God Jesus overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Amen.
Thank God Jesus is still alive today.
Amen.
If he was dead, this Bible wouldn't mean anything.
Right.
But because he's living, how much then does it mean?
Amen.
How much does it mean to him? How much does it mean to us?
Right.
I would not go to a church that did not preach and teach the Bible. I'm telling you, I would not go to that. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how much music they play. I don't care. If it ain't a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church, then it ain't living by the Word of God. I know that maybe sounds strange to some folks, but it don't sound strange to me. Huh? I'm glad LaRue Baptist Church holds to this Bible. Don't let anything wedge it from your grips. Hey, they've tried to bury it over the years, Brother Stewart. They've tried to banish it. They've tried to burn it. Come on, what else have they tried to do? They've tried to invert and make the Bible against itself, reinterpret it. But the way I understand it, ain't nothing wrong with it. Get in it. Go buy one. Get in. Jump on in that thing. Amen?
Right.
Now that's because he lives. The scriptures have power.
Amen.
There's power in this Bible.
Right.
Sister Andrew Drew, come on, play something. Next Sunday, God willing, I'm going to say, because he lives, faith is commendable.
Amen.
Living the faith life isn't easy, is it?
Nope.
Sometimes we... And now, I will say this. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. When you're living in sin, it's not easy. It's hard. It just gets hard, don't it? There is a challenge to being a Christian because you don't walk by sight. You walk by faith. And there are things in life that you used to think were the right thing to do or this is the normal thing to do. Now all of a sudden, you got to learn it the Jesus way, the Bible way. And sometimes that's challenging. But all of that faith and all that faith in God and trusting God and believing God and doing what God all that faith, it's commendable.
Amen.
Because he lives.
Right.
So I'm going to give you a little appetite for that for next Sunday. God willing, the Lord leads me that direction.